call to order the September 15th, 2016 Tiburon Design Review Board meeting. Roll call.
Chair Kaczynski.
Here.
Vice Chair Emerson.
Here.
Board Member Chong.
Here.
Board Member Cousins.
Here.
Board Member Tling.
Here.
Now is the time for oral communications, which are any subjects that someone would like to speak to that's not on the agenda. You have the ability to do so. Seeing none, staff briefing?
At this time, we have no staff briefing.
Thank you. Okay, we'll open the public hearings, and we will start with 8 Apollo Road. And I might remind everyone that we'll give the applicant up to 20 minutes to present, and then we'll open it up to the public, and we ask that you keep your comments to 3 minutes, and any mail, including late mail that has come in, my email, we have all read, so that's proceeding.
Hello, and thank you again for allowing me the opportunity to present the redesign of my project.
If you can state your name.
I'm Cedric Barringer. I'm the owner and architect of the residence at 8 Apollo Road. I appreciated your compliments on my overall design at the last presentation. After hearing these last month, as well as your comments about the design being too bulky and massive for the neighborhood, I felt like it was worth going through the neighborhood more deeply to study projects that have been recently completed. I revised my design, I feel like in a manner consistent with my findings. It's my opinion that my design falls well within the guidelines of what's been approved by this board. So I did a few slides of kind of some similar buildings in the neighborhood. Here we have 29 Mercury Road. I'll kind of go through the various elements, but this was kind of a boxy design. It could be said similar to mine, about a 12-foot roof height, similar to my proposal right at the street, and then a much larger mass in the back, 17 or so feet. You can also see in that image there's tall, clear-story windows looking towards the neighbor at 31 Mercury, which is, as you can see in the picture, a two-story structure. Back to Apollo Road. Here's 26 Apollo Road, lot size of 8605. Two variances granted, for one for lot coverage at 37%, and then second for a rear yard setback. Instead of 24'3", the allowable is 15'10". The maximum roof height, 17'10". These plate heights, I believe, because I know those windows are 8 feet, I think the plate heights are 10 feet, which is what I was proposing. And at the front gable roofs, so I'm guessing, again, from the estimating from the known maximum ridge height there, that it's probably 17'4" at the ridge at the end of the gable there. This is right next door, 28 Apollo. I believe this was done by a developer who did 8748 square feet lot. Variance was granted for lot coverage at 33%, and side yard setback was allowed to be reduced from 8 to 6 feet. Maximum roof height in this one is 18 feet, similar to the neighbor, and I believe it's about 16 feet at the street level, which is right at the setback. Going over to 17 Juno Road, which is a little bit further up the street from my residence. This is kind of a typical redo, I feel, of the neighborhood where the ridge lines were kept, but the an entryway with a roof height of 16'10" is right there at the entrance, I think, pretty noticeable from the street. I'll also point out the roof line in the back that you see there is 12 Apollo, two houses up from me. So I'll get back to 12 Apollo in a moment. This is across the street, 22 Juno. this gray stone-clad column actually extends into the front setback at 15 feet height. The maximum roof height on both those sides is 14 feet, and that's right up. That mass actually continues along the east property line down. So that's 14 feet high right along the property line. So this is what I feel is kind of the most similar project to the one I'm proposing. This is two houses up at 12 Apollo Road. Predominant roof height, these are 10-foot plate heights in the front, with the exception of the garage, which I believe is 9. I know it was discussed last week that, or last month when I presented, that you didn't believe there was a bump up in this residence, but I've been inside and talked to the owners and confirmed that there is. This roof height and eave height is predominantly 11 foot 6, very similar to mine, and then there is a bump up in the back that goes up to 15 foot 5, so this is facing south to the rear yard. So it's a living room area in the back here. That's a 9-foot door. I believe those are about 14 foot 5 ceilings there with a clear story looking south. The owners were nice enough to share their drawings with me, just confirming that this is not a guess. This is the actual section. These are the actual design drawings. So 15 foot 5, 11 foot 6 at the the image on the right shows the variance for the rear yard setback, which was granted at 16 foot 7 as opposed to 19. And I think the image on the left just kind of shows the streetscape. I'd say similar to mine. There are two houses on either side of the 12 Apollo that have not been touched, you could say. Remodeled within their envelope. And I it's my opinion that it fits pretty well in the neighborhood. There's no giant mass issues. Even though you can see the roof, it's not a huge detriment to the neighborhood. My revised design has a number of changes and improvements. I'll walk you through those now. The revised design is 2,125 square feet of living space, 375 of unconditioned garage for a total footprint of 2,500 square feet. This represents 35.7% of the lot, well within what has been approved in this neighborhood. The FAR of the design is 30.4% lower than the allowable 35%. The main shift, I would say, is the height of the rear volume, which was discussed at length at the last meeting. The plate heights of this volume are now reduced to 12 feet all around, so it's now a flat roof, for a maximum eave height of 13 foot 10. This is I think it's worth noting, it's a full 8 inches lower than the existing ridgeline, which is 14 foot 6. As I mentioned earlier, my 12 Apollo neighbor has the volume that goes up to 15 foot 5, so I really don't think that 13 foot 10 is unfair or unreasonable. Additionally, this taller volume is set back from the street about 60 feet, so it's far more than many of my neighbors' taller volumes. The plate heights of the lower volume would remain at 10 feet, so maximum eave heights remain 11 foot 10 above grade. The plate heights are similar or exactly the same as houses at 12 Apollo, 26 Apollo, 23 Juno, and others. To create a deeper buffer to my neighbors at 6 Apollo, I pushed the tall volume away from the property line and away from the setback. So here at the arrow, this corner is now 9 foot 6 away from the property line, so 18 inches farther than the setback. in order to maintain the backyard space, since I was losing a little bit there, I pushed the bedroom volume towards the street. That's still a little bit off the front setback. And for the privacy of both neighbors, I reduced the windows that are in the bedrooms, predominantly in the bedrooms. These are the windows basically on the left and right of the plan to 8 feet. So basically all the 10-foot plate height spaces now have windows that max out at 8 feet, which is exactly the same as many of my neighbors. I reduced the height of the windows in the tall volume to 10'5". So there's roof plan is pretty similar. So getting to the elevations, front elevation, obviously there's a little reconfiguration of the interior spaces. So to kind of break up the mass of stucco, I did a small bay in the front. So those are the two bedroom windows, and that will be clad in wood, same as that rear volume. So it kind of, I feel that breaks up the mass of stucco. That's the intent there. So this shows the bedroom. This is the west elevation, so going towards 6 Apollo. The two small bedroom windows there max out at 8 feet, and that kind of defines a datum point that goes around the larger volume, so that the doors are 8 feet. This window on the left side of the large volume has a transom that breaks at 8 feet. On the right, they max out at 10'5". It corresponds to a break in the eave. So the eave on the left is kind of a stepped eave, so it corresponds to a break in that, which I thought was appropriate. Next elevation, again, these windows here have been reduced to 10'5". This is now 13'10", and this, which is set back beyond, these are the windows that do still, as in the previous design, go up to the eave, but those are facing south, and I felt like that was not a detriment to any neighbors. This is the elevation towards my neighbors at 10 Apollo. I reduced the glazing that was discussed. It used to be 7 panels of glazing. I reduced the height was reduced to 10'5", like the other windows in the volume. And then I eliminated the center panel. So just square footage wise, it goes from about, I took 21% of glazing out of just the left side of the volume. So it goes from 255 square feet to 202 square feet. I reduced the eave overhangs on the west side of the tall volume, so the west side is towards my neighbors at 6 Apollo, so that's kind of the taller piece of the volume. I reduced the eave to reduce the mass. All the other eaves on the side property lines I reduced to 1 foot, and there's still these eaves here, which are south facing, and I kept it 3 feet, or they had been 4 feet, so I reduced them a little bit to reduce the mass, but I still wanted it to, they were designed that way to shade the building as much as possible from the southern sun. So on the site plan, I'd say, well, I guess I'll mention here, and then I'll show it on the site plan. My neighbors neighbors at 10 Apollo were obviously concerned about the light from these windows, so I added a third. I had two planters with citrus trees, which will grow to 10 or 12 feet, and they're in 2 foot tall planters. So I think that's really going to reduce any concerns about light pollution. That is right here. So now there's three planters with, when they're mature, relatively large trees. this is now, this had been three planters and it remains three planters. Materially, the building hasn't changed from our last presentation. It's still kind of a warm gray stucco, seen in the top left picture, wrapped in a stained wood, most likely cedar. The windows remain dark anodized aluminum, which is almost the black. Fencing will be stained, likely cedar to match the siding, and kind of a stained concrete inlaid with pebbles as the walkways around the house. And the garage door, this is it'll be quite smaller than this, but a glazed garage door. There had been some mention of the gray change, which obviously I can't do anything about, but I wanted to do a quick diagram which addresses the concerns of my rear yard neighbors. So there's about a 3-foot gray change, and I use the example of 12 Apollo here, which has the setback of 16'7", rear setback. And I was just thinking about this and realized that a person standing at 20 feet or 25 feet, which is the two figures there, comparing a structure at 16'7" to mine, which is taller but at the setback, and that's actually a little bit beyond the setback because it's an angled, the relationship is a little angular to the setback. So there's one side of it that's closer to 27 feet. But in any case, I felt like it was worth pointing out that while there is a slight difference, I feel like it's really minimal as far as what is going to be experienced or blocked from my rear yard neighbors. And that's not even counting any foliage, which is going to be planted along the rear fence. So in any case, primary takeaways as I looked at other approved projects in the neighborhood was twofold, that despite having one of the smaller lots in the neighborhood, I feel like I've designed a house that respects the setbacks in a neighborhood full of approved setback variances. The primary beneficiaries of my approach is my neighbors, who have a little more space in a side yard. And secondly, I'm not proposing anything nearly as tall as this has been approved kind of throughout the neighborhood. I've addressed the concerns of my neighbors to the east at 6 Apollo by lowering the roof height of the taller mass, pushing it farther from their property, reducing the eave to 1 foot, lowering the maximum height of the windows to 10'5". And I think it should be noted that once the foliage matures along the fence lines, these windows will be much less visible, possibly hardly visible to the neighbors. I've addressed the concerns of my neighbors to the west, primarily by addressing their concern about the amount of glazing facing their yard. Reduced the glazing 21%, as I mentioned. The windows that are facing my own backyard will be hardly visible to the neighbors once the foliage matures. I think it's worth noting that their family room windows that they referenced are a full 75 feet from my glazed, if you want to call it my glazed wall, which is considerable, I think. The revised design reduces all my windows on that side by to 8 feet for privacy and light pollution. And it also reduces the eave overhang, as I mentioned, to 1 foot. I've addressed the concerns of my neighbors to the rear by reducing the height of the rear volume and reducing the height of the windows to 10'5". I would like to point out that diagram that you're seeing here, which I think is telling and at least depicts a little bit what the reality is. I feel like my proposed design addresses the concerns of my neighbors in a very fair, respectful, and harmonious manner. Looking at a few of my proposed maximum roof heights at 1310 in a neighborhood where 18 feet is common, it's not just 1 or 2 feet lower, but more than 4 feet lower than what is fairly common. as I mentioned last month, the gabled roof design, or you guys and some of the neighbors had argued that perhaps the gabled roof design was more appropriate for the neighborhood, but I would actually disagree with that. So this is a perspective that shows the this is obviously the front of the house with the bay. I outlined the existing roof height because even though the roof height in the back is 1310, so it's a little bit lower, but I think the front is considerably lower. It's more than 30 inches lower than the existing roof height. And you can actually, from this view, which is not even at street level, I was actually at my neighbor's almost at their garage door, you can see the neighbor's ridges. I think roof height is it's obviously a something to take into consideration. But I do feel like I've been pretty fair in this design, and this, of course, doesn't even take into consideration that there's going to be trees and foliage in the front too, which is all going to reduce the that feeling of mass. The last perspective I did, because I was just curious in comparing to a gabled roof design, and this is obviously very rough, but this is roughly, it's the same footprint, but I just did a 9-foot plate height and a 17-foot ridge height, and I think it's useful because it compares what the mass would actually be, and I feel like the flat roof design is actually arguably much less bulky than a gabled roof design, certainly to the street. But anyway, I this was just an illustration. I feel like crucial question worth asking is whether I'm being denied the same privileges that have been granted and enjoyed by others in the immediate neighborhood. I'm a homeowner with young children who wants to enjoy the benefits of living in this great neighborhood just as everybody else. I believe my design is sensitive to my neighbors. I believe it's less intrusive and less bulky than many in the neighborhood, especially when viewed at the street level. I feel my design respects the setbacks of my small lot, despite many of my neighbors having been granted setback variances, and that my design is a modest and elegant addition to this thriving and transitioning neighborhood. I do feel without question that it would add value to the neighborhood. So, again, I thank you for your consideration.
From the sun, or why do you have the eaves?
Oh, I'd say it's just a design element that goes with
you
goes
said it was
the style, but on the south side is where they extend.
Why don't you just have less windows?
Well, I think it's not for light protection. It's for protection of the materials, and it's just part of what I feel is that a house of this design is to have eaves. I think you can on many designs similar, it's a much more pronounced eave. So it's just a stylistic thing.
Would you go back to the sketch that you did with the back, the rear neighbor?
Okay.
My eyes are not good and my glasses are not that good either. I was just wondering, because I couldn't see. So which is yours and which is the neighbor's?
So mine is the shaded one on the far left.
Okay.
25 foot.
Thank you.
That it, well, it's a 6 foot fence, so the tree is about 10 feet.
We'll open it up to public comment. Anyone come right ahead? Yes, you do.
Is that on? Can you hear me? You can hear me on that. And I'm at 11 Juno. And I did submit Melissa Hawks, 11 Juno. So, I mean, to me, it's still very massive in size. You know, the volume is really big. It does kind of block my whole back view that I've been looking at for 30 years. So. My concern of the design is just so big. And some of the other houses you pointed out are on the outer rim, some of the boxier ones, two of them. And then some of the other ones do have a pitched roof. So that's all I got. But that's, you know, bothers me that I have to look at that.
Fine, thank you. Anyone else? Well, seeing none, I don't know if the applicant wants to say anything else. you.
No, I'm going to correct my response.
Sorry, if you're going to respond, you've got to talk on the microphone. Thanks.
Just, I guess, a simple response that I understand that my building might look more massive to the people that are down a little lower, but I obviously can't do anything about the grade change. And Melissa and I share about, I think, 6 feet of fence, so it's, I just wanted to point that out.
All right, we'll bring it back to the board.
I'm happy to start. I really, by and large, in the same place because, you know, nothing much has changed. I think a lot of the applicant's presentation was, you know, touring a neighborhood that we already know extremely well, both because some of those applications were ones that this board approved during our tenure and also just because this is a neighborhood where a lot of applicants, push the envelope, for lack of a better way of putting it, in terms of trying to get bigger and taller and second stories. And, you know, we've had people try to expand virtually every which way. To hear and see, you know, the same addresses getting pointed at as, well, you know, this house has this, and this house has this, and this one has steep dormers. And So, not enough has been done. I mean, obviously, you know, to give my two cents on, you know, the neighborhood study, I mean, there is that big boxy house on Mercury that backs up to the open space that's next to one of the only true two-story houses in the neighborhood. And in that location, that works. Every location in the neighborhood is different, and the topography is different, and being on the islands is obviously different in and of itself. From the front, I think it's a non-issue. I think the entire front of the house that's proposed is a non-issue. I even think the large mass that's proposed in the back from the street, I think, is a non-issue. It's really just, from my perspective, an issue from, you know, the neighbors on both sides at 6 and 10 is the other. And then from from the back at Juno. And to me, I mean, this sketch that, you know, is up now, I mean, really illustrates it. I mean, you have a house that's pushed the envelope as about as far as it's gone in the neighborhood, and all of this exceeds that by, you know, probably the equivalent of a solid foot if the shaded house were to be reduced to a point where, you know, it does no more view intrusion as a house that's already at the edge of what's been done. So as far as all this talk about height, I mean, there's just such a big difference between, you know, ridge height in the middle of the property and, you know, a flat roof where the entirety of the structure is a certain height. So me, it's the issue is solely, you know, that back mass, I'll call it a box. It's beautiful. But I still think it's too high, it's too tall. And I still think the windows topping out at 10.5 feet really upsets the dynamic of that neighborhood where you have windows that typically top out at, I think, about 6'8", and then there's a 6-foot fence. So when you're standing inside, generally speaking, you're generally not seeing, you know, unless you're really tall and up really close to the window, you're generally not seeing your other neighbor's windows because of the fence that is in between and an adequate height. But this would be, you know, these windows would be 4 feet taller than that. That could probably be partially addressed to some screening. But what's been proposed are citrus trees and planters, which there's nothing about that's designed to screen or, for that matter, be permanent. So I don't really think that's been addressed with landscaping either.
I'll go next. I agree with Board Member Tolini, and I think he made the point at the last meeting. There's a difference in comparing roof heights to a maximum height across a flat roof to a maximum height along a ridge line. It's just obvious to me when I look at it. I had the occasion to go into the house that you have up there, the lower one. Their windows max out at 8 feet, according to the property owner, not 10 feet, 5 inches, I think what you said. I know, and theirs are 8. That's what, according to the property owner, that's what he told me when I was there. So 8 and 10, 5, 10 foot 5 is a 2.5 foot difference, which makes a huge difference, I'm sorry. Also, you compare peaked roofs, gabled roofs, shed roofs to your flat roof, and it's not a fair comparison. Some property owner told me that we didn't give you enough direction. I'm trying to be as, and the picture on the right, that's a shed roof that goes up, and at one point it maxes out at that 15 feet. Your whole house is 13, 14? It's not a fair comparison. I hope we're getting across to you what we want to see. I love flat roofs. I love shed roofs. I love the house that's down the street. But that's an 8 foot height on a what appeared to me as a huge glass door. So I think you can achieve what you want to achieve. You just don't think you can achieve it, but I think you can. And if you go to that house and look at those huge eight foot sliders, I mean,
I don't think you can actually. It doesn't work like that. It's not a question and answer session.
I get to talk to you.
You get to listen.
And I'm done. I mean, I could go. I made points on each house that you said. For example, Mike pointed out that one of those houses is on the outer perimeter and backs up to open space, so I don't really count that. And it's at a different grade height. 26 Apollo just has those high peaks, but the windows are 8 feet. 28 Apollo, I don't know about that one. 17 Juno, one mass in the middle of the building. It's in the middle, which I think a lot of your neighbors said if it was in the middle, wouldn't be as bad as being over on one side. When you, a 15-foot bump up in one section is a lot different than a 14-foot flat roof across your whole house. So I can't get behind it, but I think I love flat roofs. Don't get me wrong. I do like flat roofs, but not flat roofs where the windows are 10 foot 5 inches and affect the neighbors, or they think they affect the neighbors, or the neighbors feel that way. If they feel a loss of privacy, I feel a loss of privacy.
Well, I agree with what my colleagues have already said. I think from the street, I don't have any problems with the house, you know, and the mass at the back is screened, but we're not just dealing with the view from the street. We're dealing with the impact on all the neighbors around your house, and the large volume in the back, we said clearly at the last meeting, we thought was too high, and I said if you reduce it to 14 feet, I didn't think that was going to be enough, and now you put the story poles up, I don't think it's enough, particularly to number six, where you're so close, and you've still got the overhanging leaves, and you've got a row of high-level windows looking straight down, or casting light straight down. You know, this house is a good example. They've kept the perimeter of the house at a much lower level and got one small area that pops up in the middle, right in the middle of the site, which is screened as you look up to the house. It has the impact for the person inside, but it doesn't have that major impact on the people that are around it. And I think just taking the whole roof up has a huge, there's a big difference.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm probably of everybody that John hasn't spoken, I'm probably the closest to wanting to support it, but it's still just not enough for me. Like, I was hoping for, and again, I'll point, for me, the only concern is the 6 Apollo, the neighbor to the west. It just, I walked out to the backyard, and it was, it personally didn't seem like it was a big change. It kind of felt like the story poles that were there last time. And then I think also the landscaping I don't think has been fully addressed. If there was mature landscaping there now, right? But for whatever reason, this property ended up with what seems like almost no landscaping around the entire perimeter. You know, if there was mature landscaping there now, I'd probably be able to get behind it. I mean, if it was just, you know, those windows and that height was hidden behind a, you know, big old tree or, you know, a large vine sitting on top of a fence or something like that, I probably have a different opinion, but the fact of it is that it doesn't exist, and I don't think the landscape plan necessarily addresses it like it needs to either. So while close, I'm not there.
You know, I think first, as you guys have addressed, I have to address it too. I like the house, all in all.
It's a great design.
Yeah, it is. I really don't appreciate the comparison of this house to the other ones that were done. We're not talking dimension on roof height. The dimension is not what we're talking about. It's the volume created by the continuance of that dimension over the entire area of the high roof.
Right.
That creates a completely different feeling in mass. And the ones, you know, as you said, Mercury's on the perimeter, Apollo, Juno, 28 Juno, 28 Apollo, 26 Apollo, 17 Juno, all have gables, and maybe the one on Juno has the tall piece right in the middle. And Gordon, as you pointed out, the 12 Apollo, the way their height works for the sides in the front, it works quite well because it's almost hidden. In comparing the rear mass to 12 Apollo, there's one of the big differences. Not only is it taller and the neighbor is down, which we can't do anything about, but it makes that looming feeling even more. Even though it's set back a little more, it's still up there. And bringing that glass all the way up means they sit out there and they see a row of glass. They don't see the stars, they see a row of glass up above their fence. Being lower and with that fence, you would think you'd be able to screen even high windows, but they're still gonna show. And that's the difference with the high windows that I think it isn't, obviously nobody can see, but when at night someone wants to go out, quiet evening, and they have these windows up in the sky around them, it's a little disconcerting to me because I'm not sure what it actually adds to the light within the house. I'm not trying to change the design. I'm trying to change or look at, to be sensitive to the influences around the site, and that's with the neighbors. I think it's close in many areas, but standing in the backyard of the Juneau resident, it's really big. And so I think, you know, even the difference in height between it and 12 could make a big difference. 12, you know, their highest point. So that's, I don't know if we can not block all the view from the neighbors behind, because I think there is going, you know, obviously there is going to be some change there. But again, to me, it's these windows that are up high, and the whole thing could, it's just, do you need that volume? I even, standing in the back of this lot and looking at the story poles and looking at the dimension from the house to the fence and thinking how high those glass was, it seemed disproportionate to the yard that's there. You know what I'm saying? It's like big windows looking on a little yard. So, I mean, I wanted to get behind it, and I do like the design. I'm not asking for them to go to the gables or a hip or
I'm not either.
Else.
I'm just pointing out that there's a big difference, and you did too, between looking at a gable and looking at a flat roof.
Yeah, I mean, so you have to take into account the mass that creates. When you bring that big height all the way out to that rear yard setback, it's different than when that height is going up out you like this. Not to change it to a gable, but understand the influence of that mass.
Yeah, John, I took a picture because I was struck pretty dramatically from that exact same place, standing in the backyard. I had my back to the fence and looked back at the story poles, and I mean the volume is being magnified by two. I mean effectively it's, and it you said it well, I wholeheartedly agree, it seems disproportionate to the lot.
Oh, well, what are we going to do? You want to come back with the redesign?
If that's
yes. Yeah.
Please talk on the record,
yeah,
though. Thanks.
We're taping it, so we can.
I understand the guidance on the mass. But I guess I'm just wondering, just thinking through, without redesigning the whole thing. Like, if I were to take the plate height of the large mast to match the other plate height to 10 feet, would that be sufficient in addition to reducing glazing? What I'm playing with now is, do I redesign the whole thing? Do I do gables? I guess it's, I mean, I would love to minimize the number of times
I
come
here. Yeah, we understand.
Go ahead.
You can stay there so you can answer. I think we don't want to design it for you, but yes, that would help. I think
for me, 10 feet, I could
even
probably
even
get
a, even taking the high one and turning that into a shed. If you wanted the height inside, it'd be to the middle of the site. That could work.
But not those. But then there's clear stories up there, and that's.
But that's.
Okay.
That can still work.
I mean, the clear stories would be facing the interior. I mean, it's not a courtyard, but it's the interior of the lot.
The back.
Well, that would be now a triangular shape. So I doubt you put windows.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to try to dictate in the designer. I'm just.
But no, I mean.
Trying to say, I think there are things you can do with this design to get it there.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, I think the look, oh, the look that's going on, like, I'd hate to see it just go to gables for, I mean.
No.
What I was personally hoping for was that this was going to get dropped to something closer to the height of the other stuff.
That's what he's saying.
And then have something like a shed roof that comes up that, you know, puts the height in the center that still gives the volume in that room, but it's just.
Well, with a 10-foot high plate height, you're still going to have great volume in the room, but if you do want to go up with the shed, then I could probably get behind that. But 10 feet is, I was just in that other house, and it's.
Yeah, I mean.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, to the question that was asked, I mean, I certainly think if this was all the same height as the rest of the house, and the glazing was brought down, I think that would probably be pretty non-controversial. I mean, we'd obviously need to see it and everything else, but.
Yes.
That strikes me as a fundamentally easier design for us to get behind.
Yeah.
If there's going to be some sort of articulated roof in the back, I mean, clearly on the side facing six, you know, it needs to be brought down quite a fair amount, I think. The glazing needs to be addressed, if not eliminated, you know, above the, call it whatever, 7 or 8 foot range. And then it's just a question of, you know, do you still maintain any sort of, you know, shed roof that would, you know, allow some volume towards the interior of the property or not, and that's just a matter of, you know, what can work.
Yeah, I think there's things to work with, because I think architecturally, you know, I think the applicant would probably prefer to have some leeway with some kind of change in elevation, which I think would really.
But there's a lot of possibilities.
So 13 to 14 in the center just doesn't bother me. It's the 13 and 14 that's over by the we generally don't do. We try to stay away from the workshop, but it seems like you've got a sincere. You're trying to be sincere about getting to a place that
will
design that works.
Right. I mean, some of us have said that, you know, you're relatively close, so trying to understand about
what,
you
relatively
know,
close.
Right. Does that mean just the heck with it? Everything's 8 feet tall.
So, by the way, we've never really discussed this one, but when I first moved into my place, I ripped out two very large planters and threw them away. So I personally like
Thank
to see
you.
Them in the ground, despite the fact that it would be
That's
lower. To start out with, potentially.
I was going to say that, yeah.
So which maybe means that we've got to bump up the size of the starting tree, but I would like to see them in the
yeah,
ground.
Yeah, I agree with Brian. That was I didn't address that, but yes, that's a big concern. A potted plant, you can just.
Well, they don't grow very big either. I mean, the other issue to me is just also, I mean, you know, people generally don't plant citrus trees for screening purposes. I mean,
that's true, too.
You know, Podocarpus, Arbutus, this forum.
Exactly.
You know, there are trees out there that are great for screening, that grow fast and fill in.
And you can still have your citrus trees in a planter somewhere else around the yard.
Yeah, I mean, you can do citrus and then in between something else or whatever you want to do, but citrus tree probably isn't.
I'll leave it to you guys. I have a beautiful lime tree in a wood planter. Great stuff. And the thing, yeah, and from the house, it's probably 10 feet now. Big lollipop, so.
Okay,
it
so
worked for me.
But it took a while.
Make a motion that with 8 Apollo Road, it's continued
well,
until.
Yeah, we don't know until when yet.
The next meeting is October 6th or they're October 20th. We would need the plans and the story polls for the October 6th meeting would be September 26th. Or you can go to the October 20th meeting and we would need everything by October 10th. You needed to let us know.
September 26th?
We would need to know before the 21st because of noticing.
was October 6th, but she's saying you would need everything
by the 26th.
Change, like the story poles and all your plans.
Okay, so it's continued to the 6th of October.
No, yeah, 6th of October. Okay. I second.
All in favor?
All
aye.
In favor?
Aye.
What about the streamlining act?
He already verbally extended it last meeting.
Okay, great.
Okay. Thanks.
Next is 488 Washington Court.
We're not paying attention.
So, I am Erin Mesa. My husband is on the paperwork as and we are hoping to increase the size of our fence in the rear of our house, 6 feet to 8 feet, mainly due to privacy and noise. We are looking to see where the location of the home is across from Blackie's pasture. And after dark, the headlights from Blackie's pasture that come out of Blackie's pasture create a lot of headlight noise into our home. And then also the corner, and then coming down Tiburon Boulevard, that headlight noise also comes from that. So increasing that light, sorry, I was going to call it, the headlight noise over that is very helpful. And the increase in the size of the fence would help cut that light out. And then would also provide some privacy, some additional privacy for the rear of the residence.
That it?
My big fan is ready.
The public? If you weren't after it, it would like to be.
I drove by the site and am supportive and agree with staff's variance findings.
I agree. I support this. Practical thing to do.
Well, I drove back and forth there, and I think that Tiburon Boulevard creates challenges. If you're looking for noise reduction, I live on Tiburon Boulevard. You're not going to get any noise reduction. Further, I feel like, do you remember when this house came through the first time? They kept raising it up. It's way up from the rest of the houses in that area. So in a certain sense, it's kind of a hardship that they imposed on themselves by putting the house up that high. I think 8 foot looked a little high. 7 foot, I could easily get behind. Why? Because I just sat there and eyeballed it, and if I saw an 8 foot fence all the way along Tiburon Boulevard, might not be so bad, but 7 foot, I wouldn't care. But that's just my 2 cents worth. But as lights I can see, they're a problem, and if they've done some kind of scientific study and found that 8 feet is going to shield those lights, good for them. So maybe it is 8 feet, but I think 7 would be sufficient, really. And if you put screening up and the trees grew, you'd have a green fence and it would even be nicer.
So I personally thought that, the story poles seem to show a height of a fence that would still be lower than the vegetation that's there. So I can certainly see the utility
from a further noise blocking and light blocking standpoint. I mean, the reality is you know, still see the house pretty visually, even if you do raise up the fence. But I think it'll help, and hopefully it helps substantially. And in sense, you know, there's a 6 foot, I think 6 foot fence there, but seems to be, in some places maybe it's only 5. I'm not totally clear on that. It's either going from 5 to 7 or 6 to 8. It's something like that. But I'll go by the story poles. Again, it seems to not really exceed the height of the vegetation that's there. So I personally thought this was an easy one to get behind. I mean, also because, you know, Tiburon Boulevard being, you know, higher than, you know, essentially the grade that the fence is built on. I think that it's a little bit like, you know, we're about to talk about another, but it's a little bit like how Trestle Glen abuts some of the homes on Juno, where we've approved some 8-foot fences. So to me, it falls similar to that. So I have no problem getting behind it, and I can support all the variance findings.
I'd like to ask the applicant a question, but you can just say yes or no aloud. Are you going to remove the existing vegetation that's there on your property? I agree with you guys, and I agree with Linda too. Driving by it and just trying to visualize everybody coming in and wanting to put up an 8-foot fence, and they're all going to be different designs. And but it is noisy. It is.
This will do nothing to say.
No,
but
for the lights.
Yeah, that's true. The lights, it would help.
And there's a perceived, what do I call it? You kind of perceive of being away from the traffic more when it's there. Maybe the noise isn't, but the fact that you're more enclosed. Does it need to be 8? I don't think so. I mean, as Linda said, if you guys are okay with 8, I'll do that. But I think 7. Would have been sufficient and let vegetation take over for the rest of it. I don't know. It's just kind of, what do we want to see along Tiburon Boulevard? And that whole area from Trestle Glen and coming around that corner and all the activity at Blackie's, that's just a lot to deal with. So I'm okay with it.
I thought, because we recently did the one on the corner, and I thought that went to 8 feet.
In one
on
spot?
The corner.
Yeah.
Because the road is higher.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and the cars are pointed directly at
it. Right. It was the part near Trestle Glen.
Yeah, this is this is a different influence.
This
I think
we
the
made
the problem visually. The problem with this one is it's quite short, and the fences are only 6 foot either side of it, so it looks a bit stupid. But I imagine that if we say, okay, this one can be 8 feet, then the other two, the ones on either side, are going to come up as well, and then it'll look fine. But it's going to look odd to begin with.
I mean, it's no different from Juno, though, where it's mostly 6-foot fences, and there's,
yeah,
you know,
there's
some
there's
who got the light bulb went off and went to 8. You know.
So
but they're all lower than the street, so that's a big difference.
But that's the case here, too.
Not much.
The grade
close.
Is lower. The house is higher, but that's to Linda's point.
I wish I would have looked it up on the one on the corner of Trestle Glen on what we did with that. Do you remember?
One Mercury Avenue?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 6 feet, and then it goes staggers up to 8.5.
Right, towards the front is where we brought it down to 6 feet.
Right, so towards the front, towards the driveway, it goes down to 6 feet.
But the back is?
But the back side is 8.5, and then the rear is 6.5.
Oh, it is, 6.5 at the rear.
Mm-hmm.
So see, there we only did.
You mean the rear that goes away from the road? The stuff
away
on
from
the
road.
Is
yeah, the part that's towards the road is 8.5, and then I think it's like 7.5, and then it's down to 6.
Right. Right. So where it steps down it's near that path there that goes between the neighborhoods.
Oh, gotcha.
Between Belvron and Washington Court.
Yeah.
Yeah, the park. There's a park behind the house.
Okay. All right.
I'd like to make a motion with respect to 488 Martian, right? That the project is exempt from CEQA, and approve the project as submitted with the attached conditions of approval.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Yeah, 12 Venus Court.
Hello. Hey, my name is Sam Bowen, and I'm the owner of 12 Venus Court. And we'd like to put up a fence just around the backyard of the property, really for privacy. We have a lot of people kind of walking up and down Trestle Glen and sort of peer in across us as they walk past, and when we're in the yard they look down on us, when we're sitting in the kitchen or in the dining room they're kind of looking there. Kind of sets the dogs off as well, the dogs start barking, and we've had complaints from the neighbors up across the other end of the Trestle Glen about the dogs barking, so we're just helping all around. So I think the application is for a 9-foot fence, which was the recommendation of the contractor. In reality, I think an 8-foot fence would be totally fine. I think the part of the feedback was that a 6-foot fence would potentially be adequate. So, I mean, I have taken some pictures of what a 6-foot fence would look like, if that would help. So back that way.
Yeah.
So the top line, the orange line there is of course the 9-foot story. The yellow line is what a 6-foot would look like. I stood on the other, I'm not a particularly tall person, and for me I was well above the 6-foot. And obviously due to the slope that the fence is on, it's probably 2 to 3 foot down where the fence starts.
Can I ask you a question on story pole locations? So there's a story pole, the one on the upper end of the property. Does that represent the corner, or does that represent, because it looked like there was a paving, is it, come up there? It's the really tall one that's up here. Is that located here, or is that located here?
I think the corner one, yeah, right, it's here, and then this is probably the corner of the property, yes.
Okay.
There's this fence thing here. You've got this tall. The line comes up to that.
Where? There isn't one here
at the moment.
That story pole is there, right?
Right.
So there's not a story pole that marks the actual pole.
Only a 6-foot fence along here. Is that right? So 6 foot up to this. So you didn't put the story pole in, and it would suddenly step up to 9 feet.
Yeah, you're right. There isn't a story pole there, you're correct.
So that's representing the end of this 9-foot story pole, because the 6-foot doesn't really line up. Yes. Okay. All right.
Step right up. I mean, when we comment on the recent. Okay, thank you.
Does anybody else have questions for the applicant? Okay, so we can open it up to the public.
Oh. Is there anyone here for the public who wants to make comments?
Okay, sounds great for us.
I'll lead us off. So I have no issue with 9 feet right up until somewhere around here. And I think it's going to look odd to go from 6 feet to 9 feet. And that story pole was the one that bothered me. So I guess I would be supportive of the application if it went from the 6 feet and then slowly built to hit the 9 feet after it gets down the hill.
Down the hill a little bit. There's a steep bank from about this point up to that corner, and So the fence is coming along and it suddenly
and it goes,
kicks right
yeah,
off.
Right.
And I was looking at it and I thought, well, if the top of the fence should really follow the line of the, for the road, because
exactly.
that's what you're trying to do, rather than the grade that it's sitting, that you, where you're building the fence. So
6 foot here, no problem. And then if it's like six, and
then
it's seven, and then it hits its nine after it's down the slope a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're talking about the top basically being even though, right? The top wouldn't necessarily step, it's just the bottom kind of expands as the
yes.
land falls.
Exactly,
away.
It's
yeah.
the
so
six where the gate is.
But ideally
then
you'd have a levelish top
right.
to the fence, and then, it, then and as the ground fell away, it would go from 6 foot to the nine.
It is pretty imposing at that corner. Yeah, it's just kind of in your face, and way too much.
And
I mean, it's,
it,
it's like, I'm a tall guy, and I'm still looking up in the sky to look over. So
I think we, if we're going to pass this, I mean, it, oh, well, anyway, you go.
I agree. I mean, to me, it was the one, you know, spot where it seems to just accentuate upwards, and I wasn't sure it needed to be 9 feet anywhere. I mean, it seems like it, you know, 8 feet even at the places where, you know, it's not sticking up like that would have certainly been enough. I mean, I think that at the point you wouldn't even be able to see, like, shingles of the house, let alone any sort of, you know, glazing or backyard or anything like that. So, I mean, for me, it's just how much kind of overkill do you kind of need when, you know, I mean, when you're on Trussell Glen, it's nice to preserve the, you know, the distant view to the extent you can, as opposed to
wiping,
you know,
it out.
Having a big solid fence that doesn't really, you know, is taller than you.
And it's not doing anything for anybody. I absolutely agree with Michael. I don't think it's, I just agree with him. There's no sense in wiping out that view beyond when you don't need to. And if it was the property owner himself said that 9 feet is too much, the 6 foot looked a little low. I could get behind seven easily, but 9 feet I think is too tall.
Yeah, I certainly thought that the 6 foot was too low because I could see over that quite
yeah,
easily.
Yeah, I agree.
And I didn't really, I mean, 8 feet would be fine. Because I'm taller, I suppose. I mean, I was thinking of people in cars where you crouch down and then you could bring it down, but if you
yeah.
if you do actually have people walking down
oh.
there.
For my car, like a 3 foot fence was fine. I drive a go-kart and it's totally fine, but it's when I stand up. So, right.
But, I mean, I could see it.
I still don't think that's right, though. I think that
what
we talked about earlier.
When, you know, there's, we didn't walk down far enough, but I don't know what happened here when it starts to get heavily vegetated and it starts dropping off. You know, I hate to just put a dimension on it, and it may not be enough down there, because when the fence goes down the hill, what's going to be enough?
In that one section. In that one section from the last story pole to the property line you're talking about?
Oh, yeah, they're saying we reduce all that to seven.
I wouldn't reduce it to seven.
Six,
I would support,
right,
I mean, I would support eight.
Yeah.
And then still dealing with that place up there.
Yeah, right, it's
yeah.
like
where it should essentially, you know, glide down to six.
And actually, it's
I think that's about good.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, see, by the time it gets to the corner, at least according to Gordon's picture here, by the time it gets to the corner of the shed, it hits that vegetation, right?
Yeah.
So if we, let's just say, hypothetically, there was a motion that was an 8 footer, and it, which would mean entire foot lower here, and it's coming from 6 feet, not from 9 feet, right? And it doesn't, it's not allowed to, I think they're gonna probably not have like a 1 foot drop or something like that. It's gonna, you know, go from.
I got it.
Yeah.
Start with 6 with that, the upper corner.
Stop at 6 at the upper corner, right? Which doesn't, isn't even part of the variance. So, so yeah, start at 6 and not hit 8, which would only be 2 feet difference before the corner of the barn.
Where the corner pole is now.
Yeah, exactly. And that way at least it gets it behind the vegetation and.
That corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So explain it to Kira.
There's a.
He's talking, he calls it a corner, it's not a corner post, it's where the last.
It would be this corner right here.
It's not, it's where the last story pole is.
Our concern is that this section right here would be too tall.
This story pole is 9 feet and it sticks right up, so we're gonna say that's a maximum of 6 feet at that point, and then it, then the fence should just, the top of the fence should just run down to meet the fence here at 8 feet. So it would just slope down.
So it starts 6 feet here and then.
Yeah.
Right, because the property drops.
There's a 6 foot fence right here right now.
Okay.
Or proposed.
Right.
And then it would go from 6 feet and not hit 8 before the corner is marked.
Before the, yeah.
Okay, so it kind of just steps up or?
No, it's, the top will be going down.
Just draw a straight line on the top.
Yeah. The idea is there's not a step. I think the applicant probably is, yeah. You're following the, okay.
So you'll just bring in.
We just have to be able to define it as a condition of approval.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so I understand, where is it allowed to be 8?
At the beginning of the corner of this barn, which.
The barn, here.
Oh, the barn.
There's a.
The barn.
Yeah, this is all 6 feet to begin with, Linda.
Yes.
So the 6 feet would start there and then there'd be a straight line from 6, to call it 8. Right out from this barn.
Okay.
And then it would continue along 8 the rest of the way.
Right. And the thought also is there's a vegetation sitting right in front of the corner of that barn, so it's.
Right, that's where there's like a tree, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
How do we do?
Oh, yeah.
That's right, 8 feet isn't enough.
Eight feet.
I think you really need nine.
All right.
So Kira, you got, you think you got what captured as a condition of approval?
I'm not as quick as Dan.
So regarding 12 Venus Court, I make a motion that we approve the project with the conditions that we stated, which are that the fence goes from 6 feet and at the property, at the corner of the property to.
No. To what we said previously.
Yeah, to what
yeah.
we said previously.
Yeah, I understand.
Do I have a second?
And additional condition of approval that we're bringing it from 9 to 8?
Yeah, correct.
Yes.
That it would not exceed 8.
That it would not exceed 8.
Would not exceed 8.
And we also need to say that it's exempt from CEQA. We determine that, right?
Really? How can it even be CEQA have anything to do with the fence line?
Oh, actually, we also, Kira, did you capture it because staff did not have sufficient evidence for the findings? Do you have enough to capture that?
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Very complicated motion.
So that's complicated if I understood it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, that passes.
Thanks.
Sure, we had no minutes this time?
We gotta do 173, John.
More.
Oh, yeah, we do, that's right.
I make a motion that we draft a resolution.
Oh, it's attached.
That's attached as.
I make a motion that John sign it.
Oh, good, thank you. That's all we have to do.
Seconded?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Do I have to sign it?
Not yet.
You have to sign it.
You have to go in and sign it.
Thank you.
Jeez.
I didn't have any comments on that.
I did not either.
John hasn't even read.
I make a motion the minutes are exempt from CEQA and we approve them.
Second. I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Have we been drinking?
It feels like it.
Must be something about fence.